QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours. It'd be 7 o'clock, local time, on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every second and fourth Tuesdays of the month at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Peter is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to bbarc.org. That's bbarc.org. Or visit the Facebook page at K6BB Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. That's K6BB Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. And the purpose of this net, of course, is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio and all technology in general, sparking interest in all aspects of amateur radio communications and technology. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. All right, hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Well, this evening we're going to talk about NFED antennas, kind of a weird duck, very popular for certain reasons, and what is an NFED antenna? We'll stay tuned and we'll let you know. First, let's go ahead with our roster here, which changes from time to time. And we'll start off CIA George from Lucerne Valley. Not hearing George out there this evening. How about KJ6FIL? Mike.
So present and unaccounted for. KJ6FIL.
Accounted for, or something like that. Hey, Mike, glad to hear you out there. How about WA6ITC Rod, way out there by the camp? You still be at the camp. All right. How about KJ6KDL Jim, KJ6KDK Rosemary?
Yeah, KJ6KDL here.
And KJ6KDK.
Hey, Jim, glad you're out there. Sounds like you're beat. That's okay. It's the heat. Hey, that almost rhymes. All right. Moving on to KI6IQA Kelly. Oh, Kelly out there this evening. How about K6GVL Ron Green Valley? All right. No Ron out there. How about AD6PL Harold? Hey, good evening, Harold. Glad to hear you out there. Glad you could join us. How about KJ6RAY, Ray?
Good evening, Tom. KJ6RAY Mobile, checking in.
Hey, Ray, glad to have you out there, Mobile. Drive safe, please. Sometimes there, sometimes not. Let's see if we have K6LCS from Harupa Valley. Not hearing Quinn out there this evening. And I got two people here back on the hill. See if they're out there and up to this. Appreciate if they check in. W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Ken. We don't hear them out there this evening, but that's okay. How about KJ6PYV Dave? It must be the heat. Okay. Anyway, I got Harold out there. I know that. All right. How about K6YNW, Chris? Well, maybe they'll join in later. How about W6POO? See, we got Chip.
Yes, you do. This is W6POO in Palm Springs, and good evening to you, Tom. And Annette.
Good evening there, Chip, and hopefully stay cool if you can. All right, let's see. The fuse man, KD6LA and Bill. He probably blew another fuse. All right, we'll let him go. All right, Apple Valley, let's see, we got KJ6QYN Shelley. Yeah, this hot weather is not good for Tech Tuesday, that's for sure. All right, let's move on to AE6TK Victor.
Tom and the group, Victor Santa Fe Springs.
Good evening there, Victor. Glad to have you out there. Thanks for checking in. Hopefully you have an air conditioning in your shop. Let's see if we got KA6ROD Rod Moonridge. Maybe not. Okay. Let's see. W6JET on the hill. Let's see if we got Rob.
W6JET. Good evening.
Good evening there, Rob. Thanks for making that trip out there. I guess I should call him right now so I don't forget. Your sidekick there, KK6MOS, Brett.
KK6MOS, he's right next to me. Have a good evening.
How close is he? Never mind, I don't want to know. Okay. All right, guys, glad to have you out there. And heard him out there. I know, hopefully his meds have kicked in and he's not in pain. KK6HUB, Bob, hopefully you can make it to the mic.
Yeah, this is KK6HUB out here next to the pole that's causing all the problems with no electricity. And I just talked to the chief, looking at 4 to 5 hours before they get the pole and power fixed out here in Irwin Lake. Good evening.
Bob, hey, thanks for all that great information earlier and just now. For the people out there, I will give you a good update and... thanks for that info. Alrighty, let's see here. Kind of wandering through my different check-in lists here, and I know I have Zach. If I can find him, where is Zach? Zach is on this side. Okay. KK6FJE, Zach. I have Zach, okay. Let's see if we have W2PFA Art down there in Riverside, or up here. Well, he's probably recuperating, going through a lot of medical stuff right now. That is okay. Well, I know he's out there, good for a check-in anyway. W6CYS, John.
CYS, we are here, as is the repeater.
This is KF6Q Tech Tuesday, and the net, every Tuesday, that's on the second or fourth that we can. Thanks, John, for being out there. I know Art's probably out there somewhere in Sunny City. I don't think he's back up yet, but I know he's working out there, so let him check in later if he wants to. I think that's pretty much everybody. I've got a lot of miscellaneous names, people from time to time, and I know there's a lot of others out there listening. If you'd like to check in, fine. If you'd like to listen out, that's fine, too. We'll give you a chance to check in this evening. Please come back, too. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
K6CIA.
Well, there's George. I knew you'd be out there. Thanks for checking in. And who else we got out there?
W.
Okay, we got Chris out there. I heard Chris in there, but we also had a double on that, Chris. But Chris, thanks for checking in. Who else was in there?
IQA.
My partner in crime there, Kelly, glad to have you out there. Anybody else?
GZI, pedestrian mobile.
Frank, doggone it. I keep calling you and you don't check in, so I passed over your name, and I'm so sorry about that. W6GZI, Frank, hope you're having a good time out there. Hope Jan is standing next to you and also having a great walk out there. Thanks for checking in. Who else is out there?
26KVC.
Hey, is that you, Gary?
Roger, roger.
Glad to have you out there. And if you see Greg and Kelly, hopefully they're doing well too. We hear them out there once in a while. Who else is out there this evening?
WO2C.
UO2C, glad to have you out there. That's a good call sign, I like that. Where are you calling from?
Good evening, Tom. Good evening to the net. Ray in Fort Irwin.
Ray in Fort Irwin. Well, thank you very much for that QCO you had the other day with Echolink. Actually looking at a nice trailer, kind of like a vehicle haul or somebody has for sale out there on Craigslist. Very nice, and the guy's got a great price, so. Fort Irwin's a big fort, so anyway, but I know he's out there. So, nice big black toy hauler. Anyway, good to have you out there, Ray. Anybody else?
KK6MQO and KK6MQP, Ryan and Sierra and Baldwin Lake, checking in.
All right, well, we got you checked in here from Baldwin Lake, and thanks for checking in our net. And I want to remind everybody out there, we used to do this every Tuesday. We're very busy this summer. We are now doing it on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month. So please still join us, and hopefully we can all remember that. Anybody else out there for a check-in?
KG6WIT and WFG from Victor City.
Reinhardt and Margaret, by golly, glad to have you out there. And I never try to pronounce your last name. It's too difficult. So we just call you Reinhardt and Margaret. Thanks for checking in. Anybody else? Oh, by golly, that is a fistful right there. I think we got it. And we're actually reading this as an article from the May issue of QFT Magazine. If you're not a member of the ARRL, you might think about joining. If you are, you'll get this magazine for free. The membership dues for a year are worth the magazine itself. A ton of different technical articles and non-technical articles and information on just about everything. And if you join as a member and you say, well, doggone it, you know, what about all those issues in the past that I didn't get? Well, that's okay, because ARRL has online from 1915, yeah, that's not 1915, their first issue, and it's in their electronic, and as a member, you can go back through any issue all the way back to their very first one and bring it up and read it. You have the ability to print a page or two, but it's very awesome. So, yeah, all those great articles from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, 90s, they're all there. And anyway, that's they're also one of the most definitive resources of technical books and semi-technical books and not technical at all if you're learning about ham radio, huge library, and so on. So anyway, promote them as the most definitive source in ham radio information. So yeah, think about joining with them. What other benefits too besides that? All right, let's get on with our subject. Okay, this particular article, which is a ongoing author of the QFG, this is by H. Ward Silver, call sign N0 Alpha X-Ray. And you can get a hold of him by his call sign at N0 Alpha X-Ray. At ARRL.org. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you remember, you also get a alias website like that. Pretty cool. So, works 99.9% of the time. Anyway, this is from the May issue of 2014, page 63. Anyway, and he's using a very popular software. If you haven't heard of this piece of software, well, you're about to. It's called EZNEC. Yeah, the letter EZ, like in Edward Zulu, and NEC, like National Electrical Code, but it's not. But it's November Edward Charlie. EZNEC. It's a very well-known piece of software. It has different prices. If you buy an AR, and you don't have to be a member of the ARRL, but if you buy their antenna handbook, it's about a $50 item, plus or minus. Also works good as a huge paperweight. This thing is huge, heavy. Comes out about every other year, sometimes every third year. Tons of antennas to build, information in there, how they work, et cetera, et cetera. We'll reset there. Anyway, in the back is a CD, and it has a lot of great stuff on that CD. And on that CD, there is a special edition of EZNEC included. And actually, they use that in there for some of the antennas that are in the book. Now, here's a secret bunch of information about that. The professional version of EZNEC is, yes, way up there in the three digits, $500, $600, $700, $800 and up. Very expensive. But the version that is used on that disc, essentially on that CD, let me reset, is the best version. There is also a cheaper version that probably worked for most of us, still a couple bucks. But if you buy the book, you get this version of EZNEC, and it'll already be plugged in to one of their antennas. So if you say, well, I want to design or work on a three-element 10-meter beam, and they have one in there, but, you know, maybe, or maybe you want to increase the elements, or what do you, maybe you want to do something else. Well, while you pull up that information, then you can alter this, and you're actually getting the use of the best version of EZNEC with the engine version number 4, basically for free with use of that. Of course, you can always get the software also. Like I say, this is a good inclusion they have back there. And what it is, well, we're about to tell you. EZNEC, I'm not sure if I stepped on somebody there, I might have, but we'll get right, give you a chance if you need to get in there. EZNEC basically is a way to pre-design lengths of elements, different things you want to do with an antenna, and it calculates your wave propagation patterns, all kinds of information, you know, pretty much gives you, well, is it going to work or not, and you have to learn how to use it. It's not real easy, but once you get to, it says it's easy, but, you know, once you get to learn how to use it, it's easy. Was there anybody out there with a question?
KG6LAN.
Here he is.
Late check-ins don't count. My question is, okay, I have a 10, 15, 20, three-element beam. If you go to, let's say, 4, 5, or 6-element beam, will the elements be shorter?
KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday, and the group every Tuesday. We can. Well, that is... got a couple of answers to that, Bill, and we'll handle that and one at a time. Number one, that three-element beam you have is also a tri-band, which means there's traps in there. So it works on 10, 15, and 20. So the three elements, each element is actually got traps that allow it to work on three different bands. So with that said, if you wanted that to be, say, a four-element, you say, well, you know, I want to increase the boom, add some out there, and let's put a fourth element in there, and, of course, you say, well, I'll get more gain. Well, because it's a trapped three-element, to actually make that work properly, you would also have to design in traps for that fourth element. And, yes, that could be done. And, yes, proper use of EZNEC would assist you in doing that. But it wouldn't be just a simple bolt on another piece of aluminum. It would be a little more complicated on that. And it may or may not change the elements you have. And we'll before we go there, how are we doing so far with answering your question?
I understand so far. Surprise.
Okay, KF6Q again. And let's take this one step further. All Yagis or beams, basically same thing. Multi-element directional antennas, whether they be for UHF, VHF, HF bands, 10 meter, whatever, trapped or non-trapped, whatever they are, there is no set exact spacing of the elements. There is no set exact length of the elements. However, they do tend to keep around a certain design criteria. But by adjusting, if you want more gain, get a longer boom. You can't take a short boom, add more elements, and get more gain. Doesn't work that way. You can also change how narrow the bandwidth is. Like if you say, you know what, I want to operate from 146 to 146.5. That's it. And you can get really high gain, but real narrow. You get up to 147.330, and it doesn't work so well. You can design that all in, and most people, or pre-designed antennas, and let me reset, are basically assuming that you would like to at least transmit through the whole band. So that is the design. But you can sacrifice gain versus bandwidth, kind of like you want one of more of one, you're going to get less of the other. And no matter what anybody says, if you need more gain, you need a longer boom, you really need to get out there. You can't just add more elements and say, well, this will design out, this will match up, and that is good. So definitive rule, more gain, plan on adding a whole other length of the boom, typically about 2/10 of a wavelength. Let me reset, and there's more. More part is, of course, feeding the antenna, feeding that. There's different ways. We've talked about them here on Tech Tuesday over the past few years of gamma feeds, and there's delta feeds, and there's all kinds of beta feeds, matched twin T feeds. We can go on and on and on. The main thing is this, is most dipoles, as we know, a dipole, that's just a driven element by itself, generally around 72 ohms, you know, and that's good. But when you start putting more elements behind it and in front of it, that all changes. The rules now don't apply. It's got more things around it that change that. And sometimes the actual impedance will be way down around 30 ohms, 28 ohms. They're like, oh, goodness, well, I have 52 ohm coax. And all of a sudden, that is why they don't match up. We'll reset there. So this is why we end up with some fancy matching networks and all stuff done up there. And if you're making a multi-Yagi unit, you can actually use that to your advantage. You can design in, say, 26 ohm on your Yagi, and if you hook them up properly, 26 plus 26 is 52. You can actually make that work. Of course, you still have a matching harness. Has to be done proper, but that is done all the time. So all that said, now I know, Bill, that's probably a lot more than what you had asked for, but anyway, there you have it. Any other questions, Bill?
I just stepped on you. I hope I didn't hurt you. Yeah, the other question is what you're saying then is the type of coax that you would use, it would change the match or change the operation, the performance of the radio and antenna?
If you're talking about a homemade one, of course we could design it and make it do this and that. If you have a store-bought, which is probably most of you out there, most of you out there listening, you're going to probably end up going out and buying something, and it's generally designed and matched for 52, or I shouldn't say 52, 50 ohm coax. And with that, that's all good. So when we start designing stuff is when, you know, we're going to tweak it this way and that way, whatever we want to do. We have now been deemed the creator of a whatever we want to do type thing. But for the most of the commercial market, everything is matched up for 50 ohm coax. So with that said, you know, that is good. Some out there, you may need a ballon up there, you know, depending on how it's fed. But they'll generally tell you, like yours comes with a ballon, or the ballon is purchased at the same time with the antenna, so the coax will feed that. Otherwise, there's twin lead, window line, all that other stuff. But generally, they're all commercial made so that they'll work with 50 ohm coax. Go ahead, Bill. Back to you.
Okay, not wanting to sound like the dummy that I am. RG8, RG58, the new stuff, 8X or whatever, aren't they all 50 ohm?
Yes, they are. And let's hate to put this into the plumbing aspect, but just like copper pipe, there are actually three levels of copper pipe you can buy. If you're buying half-inch copper pipe or three-quarter copper pipe or one-inch, whatever, there's three different grades. Basically, and they're all half-inch. They're all going to flow half-inch pipe and work with half-inch fittings, but the actual thickness of the copper is different. So the same with RG8X, RG8U, RG58. Every single one of those is 50 ohm coax. But the way they are designed, the size they are, essentially RG8X in particular works very good. It's cheap. It's about a quarter of an inch in diameter. Works great on the high frequency bands. Is not any good on 2 meter. After you get above the, you start getting above 6 meter or even up to 6 meter, it starts to fall off. It just doesn't work at higher frequencies. RG58, a little bit better. Works a little bit better at higher frequencies. RG8U, the best of the best. As long as, now, let me back up two steps and reset. Okay, RG stands for Registered Government, okay? So what this is actually, when we say RG this, RG that, it's a standard. It's a specification that's standardized for the eons. Just like if you go buy number 14 wire, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get number 14 wire. It's not going to be number 16 or number 8 or number 2 or number 30. Number 14, specific diameter. If it's got gas and oil resistant cladding on it, you know, it's got another little specification on that. Another type. Still number 14 wire. There can be number 14 wire stranded. So, well, we know what that is. And so these different coaxes, even though they might all be 50 ohms, it's like different types of half-inch pipe. They will hold up under different conditions. RG8U is the best. Then we get into some of the off-market brands like which are out there, and there's many of those which are actually even better yet. Back to you, Bill.
Okay, so I understand then that every application you need to research the applicability of the type of coax that is better or best for your frequency or your frequency use. Is that correct? KD6LAM.
And KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday, and the group every Tuesday, as long as it's the second and fourth. That we can. This is correct. And actually, you can download a chart. It's out there on the World Wide Web of basically the frequency loss or the loss per frequency, and you can get a chart. And they'll even have other brands, 88, 82, 13, 88, 13, and, you know, LMR, all that. There's different brands, let's put it that way. and they have all the loss. And the loss is based on, you know, so much per 100 feet, and you'll see that it's in different frequency bands. Well, of course, what you want is to find out what the loss is. 3 dB loss over 100 feet is basically 3 dB, if you see that. That means you're losing half of your power. Is not making it to the other end. 3 dB loss is literally a half cut in power. Where's it go? Heat. Basically, that's it. So you don't want that. So it's very important. Just like 8X, RG8X may have, I forget, but it could have as high as, oh, I don't know, Gemini worked with that. It was like 6, 7, 8 dB loss at the 2-meter band in 100 feet. That's terrible. I mean, that's just totally unacceptable. You're not even going to hear anybody or anything. So it's very careful of what you use. But basically, RG8U, that's what you have. We ran in your antenna bill. It's going to work in all bands, even up into the UHF. So anyway, back to you, Bill.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate it. I don't want to tie up the other questions, if there are any, but yeah, you've answered my questions and maybe a couple more that I didn't ask. Thank you. KD6LAN.
You're probably, if you're out there listening, you say, well, why would you ever want to buy RG8X? Well, there's a reason. It's 30, you know, and this has probably changed, but runs around 30 cents a foot. RG8U is a dollar a foot. Or more, or less, but usually more. So the RG8X is a third the cost. RG8U is three times as much. So it's all about the money. And if you're running, maybe you're running only about 5 feet inside your car from the radio to the antenna outside. Okay, so you've got 3D or 8 dB loss at 100 feet. Well, what do you have in 10 feet? Well, you have way less. So you can almost get by with it there. Not recommended, of course, but because it's a much shorter length, the loss is almost negligible. So all of the toss-up, got to keep all that in mind. KF6Q here for ID. Any other questions?
D6PR.
Sir Harold, go ahead.
Couple of comments. One of them is about the disc that comes with the antenna book. I bought two books. I'm not sure. I know one of them was a 2000 because I wanted the one on the turn. And I'm not sure if I bought 99, I think I did, or 2001. But one of them had the old original floppy, and the other one had the new disc. And the floppy is no chance of running that. I doubt, well, some people have some of the run, but I was curious. I had it all these years, and I took it to the library and plugged it in a computer over there, and I'm going through it. It's really nice, you know, a lot of information, and all of a sudden I see this thing, and it says beacons, and I said, I wonder what that is, so I clicked on it, and the website comes up that tells you where every beacon in the world is, apparently. But you can't get rid of the damn thing. I don't know if he still has it in that disc or not. But fortunately, it was the city's computer. And it installed itself. And there's a little pop-up that if you send me a $10 donation, I will send you an email telling you how to get rid of this. Get it off the middle of your screen. And I thought, okay, that's a scam and a half. I don't know if ARRL knew that he did that one back at that time or not. But at least with the city, when I left, I shut out. You have 2 hours on a computer. I shut it out after 2 hours. It was still on the desktop, the icon on the desktop. And they use deep freeze here, so when they shut off the computers at night, everything that was done on it during the day disappears, so I got rid of it for the city, but let me reset. And on my mobile installation I've had up here for 17 years, 16 years, I guess, and I have a mini U on it, or mini 8, and no problems. I've never changed it out. Been all kinds of weather. I got about 20 foot of it running, and I sit here in Riverside and talk to the Catalina repeater with 5 watts, so I thought that was pretty good, 86 field.
And that's, and actually the biggest thing that wears out on coax is the UV rays, the heat, the smog or things, whatever, there's a list of stuff. And most of it will hold up for a long, long time. You know, moisture getting in the end, of course, that'll really do it under. It's not sealed up. Gets in the shield, actually, and it starts corroding the shield, and the shield, of course, is a whole bunch of small wires, and then they have all this resistance amongst them, and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, time to chop off a foot and put a new end on. Anyway, you mentioned beacons, and I don't think that we want to have that stuck on our computer, but let me say a little word about beacons. Of course, we were going to talk about NFED antennas. We might get there sooner or later. Okay, but anyway, beacons. Let me reset. For some of you out there that are keeping track of the 10-meter band or the 6-meter band or any band in that manner, beacons are kind of a cool thing. It's hams running a transmitter for a service, basically. In other words, to help other hams out. Now, let's say there's a beacon on 6-meter band, and he's up in Boise, Idaho. Now, don't ask me why I picked Boise, Idaho. It just popped in my head. So up there in Boise, Idaho, there's a beacon, and it's on a certain frequency, and you look this up, you say, okay, Boise, Idaho, and this is 50.22 or whatever, you know, I just made that up. Anyway, megahertz, and you say, okay, well, what a beacon is, you tune to that frequency, aim your antenna out there, and a lot of beacons will transmit, say, at, say, 100 watts, then they'll drop down to 10 watts, then they may drop down to 1 watt, and they'll do these transmissions in a sequence, and you can look this stuff up. Let me reset. So, and it'll transmit information when it's at that level, or there's a way to know that it's what level it's supposedly transmitting. So you know that if you're picking up the 1 watt signal, wow, okay, 6 meters is open to the north. If you tune in that beacon and you can't hear it, period, no matter what setting, then we would say 6 meters is definitely not open, because there's a difference. The bands can be open, and there's just nobody talking, and so it's silent. And everybody out there is listening, waiting for somebody to talk, and the band's wide open. And believe it or not, that happens a lot. So if you want to really check out conditions, get a list of beacons, where they are, you know, and check that out, because they don't lie. They're basically transmitting 24/7, and they'll do their sequence of power levels. That'll let you know how much power it takes to get to that point, at least from them getting to you. Anyway, very cool. Beacons, and if, you know, you can actually set up your own beacon, but be careful when you do that. You know, they'll want you to do that for the rest of your life, and then some. You have to will that to your grandkids. All right, NFED antennas, very good article, very good use of NEC, and it shows how he has set this up. An NFED antenna, probably one of the originals, basically a horizontal wire with a vertical feed line going up to it on the end, and that's it. KSXQ here for ID, Tech Tuesday, every Tuesday, 2nd and 4th that we can. And I'm not going to say the NFED antennas are the best. I don't think they are, my humble opinion. It's actually at the top, one of the two lines going up there, whether it's coax or window line, one of them just stops. That's it. Goes nowhere. The other one attaches to the horizontal line. And is there problems with that? Well, yeah, there is. Okay. But it's the simplest thing to set up. And it will work. And it will always work better if you have a tuner. But if you literally had to throw something in the air, you could take a piece of wire, horizontal, get it up in the air, and literally run coax and connect the center conductor to it, but the outside just hang, and it will work, sort of. Not the best, but that's called an end-fed antenna, and it's very, very basic. And he's done some good examples here with NEC, Easy NEC, kind of elaborated a little bit, you know, on how to actually make it work a little bit better. Great article, two pages, and like I say, these are QSTs are loaded with this stuff. So, anybody out there, any questions or has any info or information on end-fed antennas, or just questions, period, come on back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. All right, well, I'm glad we answered all those. Okay. Anyway, end-fed, one of the types, many types. If you have your choice, I would say not the best choice in the world. You know, we have the G5RV, the BKW, we've got all kinds of just basic dipoles, and, of course, three-element beams, and so on. So, anyway, well, that's pretty much it. And we got a couple of good questions in this evening, which is really what Tech Tuesday is all about, helping people out there with questions. Is there any other question or suggestion or topic out there before we get ready to close the net? It is now 1900 hours and 42 minutes. Getting close, guys. Come on back to KF6Q if you have a question. Well, good deal. I want to thank everybody out there who has listened in and joined us all the way out there to Fort Irwin, if he's still out there. Thanks for listening in. And everybody else also. And hopefully we will see you 2 weeks from tonight back in here again. And, of course, we'll have hopefully another great article. And we'll chat up some more questions, too. So, anyway, QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday Net. Glad to have everybody out there join in. Appreciate that. We will see you again, hopefully, in 2 weeks, and right back here. If you have any other questions or comments or topic suggestions, feel free to email me at kf6q@arrl.net. That's arrl.net, and we'll get the information out there for you. 73, guys, and returning the repeater back to normal use. KF6Q.